Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Go for launch.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show, T-Miller, have the latest. And the latest is, as you can hear, and you might want to make your way on out here, The Drive is on the road on a football Friday, and we are live here at Raven...
It's Raven, a good day, y'all. It's a good day.
Raven's Tower.
Good Friday.
As you can hear, Clint, that was just I think a water, guys.
It's a Sprite.
Sprite, okay. Not the hard stuff yet.
Not yet.
He did start with one. Maybe in the 5 o'clock hour, old Dirty will jump on another. But it's been a good time. You can come on in here and jump on drinks. They've got anything you need. Beer. They've got frozen drinks, an array of them. That Purple Haze. A little whiskey is strong too. Beer Towers. They've got everything you need and a delicious food truck. I just had the steak, solid, strong, and you heard Clint with that brisket and that boudin. That is one of the largest links I have ever seen. But the food was great. I've talked to a lot of people who've enjoyed everything that they've had here, and you can come on out and enjoy yourself here again. Again, we're at Raven Tower out here, 310 North Street here in Houston, right next to the White Oak Music Hall, the music outdoor venue that you can come right next door to it, not attached, but right next door to it. You can enjoy yourself and have a good time out here. By the way, we still have a pair of future Texans tickets to hook somebody up with. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. Those tickets, obviously, are courtesy of our Houston Ford dealers. All right, let's look at the injury report. We told you about Dalton Schultz, who hadn't practiced all week. He returned to practice. If you're just getting in your car, he is listed as questionable. I think the belief is that he'll go. He was a full participant today. Denico Autry, who had missed practice on Wednesday, he was limited again, but he is now listed as questionable. Dylan Horton also crossed that D-line. He was a full participant after not practicing Wednesday and being limited. He is questionable as well. And Jakob Johnson, who returned, he's been full the last 2 days. He is questionable. I think the bigger news here is coming, Clint, from the Denver Broncos. We know, or at least now it is official, we had the feeling that Patrick Surtain would be out of this game with that pec issue. So he is officially listed as out. But the other one we were looking at, Clint, was Marvin Mims Jr., Texas kid, went to Oklahoma, but has been a big play threat for them, maybe their number one big play threat over the last couple of years that they use in the kicking game, they use at receiver, they use in the backfield, they do a lot of different things to get him the ball. He is now listed as out in this game with a concussion. He is out in this game, so they will be without arguably, Clint, their biggest big play weapon and threat that they like to use. Now, they have others, but he is a guy that it seems like multiple times a game they try to get him down the field, pop one, reverse something in a big play, and that option is gone for the Broncos.
Yeah, look, Marvin Mims is a guy that, with this offense, is a unique weapon for Sean Payton, and Sean Payton likes to have those unique weapons. And you talk about – you hear D'Amico Ryans earlier in the week talking about how these guys – what's different about Sean Payton is Sean Payton throws such a wide variety of offensive football at you in one game. And what makes that possible is a guy like Marvin Mims, who obviously is a good receiver, but he can also – you can hand it to him. You can line him up in the backfield. You can, as you mentioned, you can jet sweep it. The screen game he's live in. He's got speed to get over the top. He is tremendous in sense of tracking the football on the deep stuff, and the speed is there. And so when it comes to being able to throw so much at a defense, I think Marvin Mims was a big key to that. Now, I'd be shocked if Sean Payton doesn't have a slightly lesser player that's in a backup role that we see, but no doubt about it, man. Not seeing – you can argue that – I mean, outside of the quarterback, obviously, but you can argue that the two best players on both sides of the football are out of this game. And nobody – look, I'm obviously Courtland Sutton, Evan Engram, you know, there's –
They got some offensive linemen.
They got some dudes that are special. But when it comes to kind of being unique to what they do and allowing them to do more, I mean, you can argue that Marvin Mims is just as important offensively as Patrick Surtain is on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah. So that is a big development in this game. We knew Surtain was out, but Marvin Mims was not able to get cleared for that concussion protocol. So he is out of this game. So that is big news in this game and something that – will help the Texans and their defense not have to deal with that big play threat, because he is a guy that, even though he's not one of their great players, he's a guy when he's on the field, Clint, you gotta kind of pay attention. He's somebody you look up and say, what's going on there, and you put eyes towards. So that is the latest there on the injury report as they get prepared to play on Sunday at NRG.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans have a three-game home stretch here right now. They play the Niners. They'll play the Broncos Sunday, and then they play the Jags in a return game, and not just a division game, Clint, but now, especially if they're able to get a W, this will be a big game in terms of playoff seeding. As the Jags are 4-3, and you're 3-4 currently, but Travis Hunter, their number one pick in the draft, he is heading to the IR. After he had an injury in practice. So he is going to miss at least four games. So he will not only miss this week, but obviously he will miss next week when the Texans have to play him. Jags wide receiver / cornerback Travis Hunter will be placed on IR after suffering a non-contact right injury. Those are always the scary ones, Clint, during Thursday's practice. But the team is still trying to determine the extent of the injury. He will miss at least four games, but it could be more depending on what further test reveals. Initial testing revealed that Hunter's ACL is intact, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Hunter will go through additional testing to determine the extent of the injury and how long he will be sidelined. No answers are expected before next week. So the Texans do avoid playing him, but I know he was always somebody this year with what he's doing, playing both sides, both ways, was an interesting watch. I think good for the Texans next week, but kind of tough overall that we don't get to see him come into town.
Yeah, look, yeah, I hate to see it, but you know, but when it comes to the Texans and the fact that we play him within that four game window, I'm here for it. It's the thing about him and what. You know, we know about him at this point. I don't know if he's a better receiver or better corner. I don't study Jacksonville enough to know what the hell's going on. But I know when I watch a Jacksonville game, it just seems like the kid always makes a big play. And so that's the fear with them is you know Trevor will throw it up to him, and he's just a big play guy.
And he's a threat. He's a constant threat.
And constant
maybe the best
threat.
Athlete on the field when he's out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, knowing that we play him in 2 weeks, that's going to be a big loss for Jacksonville for sure.
It's interesting. I don't think, Clint, he has quite hit
the way that I'm sure they were hoping to.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think they probably don't know exactly how to use him. It does feel like, Clint, that he potentially is going to have to pick one side. Like, it feels like it may be leaning towards that. Maybe, and maybe it doesn't mean he's completely out on it on the other side, but it does feel like he is going to have to pick one side that he predominantly plays, and then maybe you look at it and he does some other things in certain situations.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was unorthodox from jump the way that they, you know, to me that's a cornerback that has a small package on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it's going to take time for him to become an elite route runner. You know that it's going to take time for him to learn the offense, and you know it's going to take time for him to gain chemistry with the quarterback. But one thing you know you can do is put him at corner. He can play corner in his sleep. And then you've got a package of knowing, hey, we're getting this coverage or we're trying to get this particular coverage. We're going to throw it deep. We're going to let him just use his playmaking ability instead of letting him try to or forcing him in a situation where he's got to try to learn an offense. And so I've always thought that it was interesting the way that they – that people thought, oh, he's gonna play offense and then have a package on defense and yada yada yada. That was wild to me. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he didn't become either one sided or predominantly defense, and we're just gonna have a little small package for you to be an athlete on offense.
Yeah. All right. So that is the latest there. The Texans will miss Travis Hunter as he goes with the IR and has to miss at least four games with the Jags. They're sitting there 4-3, right in the race as well.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, game six tonight, and the Dodgers could be eliminated tonight. And that I know makes a lot of people here in Houston happy and smile with the thoughts of, please don't let them bastards win this thing again. Don't let them go back-to-back. We'll never hear the end of their crying. And they've got a chance to go with this. Some news here coming out of this. George Springer, I know a lot of people are thinking about, he got injured in a swing a couple of games ago and has missed the last two. He is back in the lineup today for the Blue Jays. So he is, once thought it was a little bit more serious. I ain't going to lie to you, the way it looked, I thought, well, that looks like an oblique. That looks like a couple of, that looks like weeks. And his manager would never, ever rule him out. Even would say, yeah, he could come off the bench, things like that. And I just thought this was gamesmanship. But apparently not. He is really going to get back in the lineup today. Mookie Betts, who has been struggling, he's been struggling probably as much as he has in his career. They drop him again in the lineup. He was batting behind Ohtani. He hit third in game five. Now they drop him to the cleanup spot in game four. So those are some news and notes there. Yamamoto, he gets the ball for the Dodgers against Kevin Gausman, and he's been really, really good. He had a complete game, one run complete game, 105 pitches in game two of this series to get a win. And so we'll see what happens tonight. But the Dodgers got a chance to go down. And I am intrigued to see, all right, let's see, what does Shohei do? Because really, Clint, outside of that game where he got on base nine times and he went 4-for-4, I don't want to poo-poo that, he's really not been good. He struck out with his helmet falling off. He struck out multiple times. I do want to see if he rises to the occasion with their season on the line. But it feels like the Blue Jays have been the better team. It feels like it is Vlad and that group's time. And I don't know if they take care of him tonight, but I think even if it goes seven, I like the Blue Jays to win one of these two games left.
No, look, I like Vlad. He's fun to watch. I like George Springer, obviously, but it's just hard for me to go outside the States, baby. It's hard for me to root against a team right here in America, man. So I'm gonna hope them Dodgers can pull it on through.
Did you get a Dodgers hat or?
No, I'm no fool. I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm not a Dodgers fan. I would just like to see the team that's located here in the United States get that dub.
Yeah. All right. So. We'll see who you got tonight, Tyler. You got the Blue Jays finishing them all.
I mean, that's what I hope for, but I'm not going to be watching it or care. So
I'm not going to be watching.
Man, Tyler is staying with this. He is leaning in and staying with this. I am not watching this. I refuse to watch this. Well, you can. Even if you have YouTube TV, you got those channels. You can watch the World Series coming up tonight, Game 6, as we continue rolling through.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, Clint, it looked like the Ravens were back. They Ooh. Win last night 28-6. And I think, to me, the real impressive part is the 6, to be honest with you, with how bad their defense has played this year. And if you look at it, the last 3 weeks they played the Dolphins, who put up 30-plus on the Falcons last week and held them to 6. Now, the Dolphins moved the ball and got in and got near the red zone or in the red zone multiple times, but got turned away with turn.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Turnover and turnover on downs, but still, to hold a team to 6, the week before that, they hold the Bears to 16. The week before that, they hold the Rams to 17. If their defense can just be all right, now we look at and we see Lamar is out there. Derrick Henry runs for 120 yards last night. Lamar throws 4 touchdowns. Everything seems to fall into place. Their offensive line looks better.
Yep.
And it was so bad that the damn Dolphins went ahead and fired their GM last night, Chris Greer. He's out. By the way, Mike McDaniel will finish the season, so he probably knows he's done as well. But last night, a lot happened in that game and then following that game. But I think the Ravens, that looks like a team that's on the – That's on the move right now, even though they moved to 3-5. They're ready to roll, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, look, I said it yesterday, Pittsburgh dropping the last 2 games and you know, allowing that division to be interesting with really everybody at this point is what made this possible. But then Lamar Jackson coming back, and that's just a totally different team. I mean, they scored 28, Ron. How effortless it was. I mean, the play calling appears to be totally different. Obviously, it's easier to call plays when you got a guy like Lamar Jackson pulling the trigger.
He didn't even run, man. He would have 14 yards.
Yeah,
Andy.
It's wild. But I'm gonna tell you who else. That damn Kyle Hamilton is a. I mean, that sucker right there jumps off the damn off the damn field when you're watching
him. So, and Roquan, they got them all back. Looked like Marlon Humphrey was back in there too, and they were flying. They look like a different team. What about in Miami? They fired Chris Greer. Looks like they're about to go and run through that whole thing. I heard Colin Cowherd say this earlier, and it made me kind of go the other way. He said that if I were the Dolphins, I'd make a real run at Lane Kiffin. I'd look at Lane to hand the reins over to him. I'm thinking if I'm Baltimore, I'd look at Lane Kiffin after this season. I short of them winning a championship, I feel like they're going to move on from Harbaugh. And I think he'd be a fit in either one of them spots. If we talked about Lane Kiffin talking about going to Florida or LSU. Lane did coach the Raiders and was a head coach when he was really, really young. And now he's a lot older. Not a lot older. He's older, but he's got more experience. I think he could work in the NFL again.
Yeah, no, look, I think Lane Kiffin could work in the NFL, absolutely. The reality of it is, are they going to pay him $12-13 million? Because that's what it's going to take to get him out of the college ranks.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing is he's real comfortable at Ole Miss.
The college coach would make it more than these NFL coaches.
Well, these days it's more difficult, right, with that unlimited free agency with no contracts involved right now. It's significantly more stressful to be a college coach than a pro coach.
And you give Lane Lamar and
shoot, you give, I mean, if Lane Kiffin hits the market, lets anybody think that he's interested in the NFL, them Giants better be the first ones to jump.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of teams. He is one of those guys where it's like, yeah, man, he got in there really early, and he wasn't awful with the Raiders, but got in there really early, and now, you know, he's had some years to grow, and he could build a program. He'd be a good thought as well. All right, coming up as we continue, what does D'Amico have in store for Sean Payton. That's a big matchup here. We heard in the loop talking about earlier how those two coaches could have been switched here. Well, now they're going to be facing off Sean Payton's offense versus D'Amico's defense. What's that going to look like? We'll do that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, welcome back in. That Wayne always get me right there, that fireman. That always gets me. Welcome back in. Yeah, we got a good crowd out here.
Yeah, noisy bunch. Noisy bunch.
That's good, man. Hey, somebody needs to order some shots. I don't know who. But somebody needs to order some. My man right there is saying, yeah, baby, you got one? Take that shot. There you go.
Hey, they're gone. They're already down the hatch.
Yes. We are live out here on a Football Friday at Raven Tower, and we will be. You got a limited time. If you've not put your name in our raffle box, as soon as this segment ends, we will give our big prize a pair of tickets to a future Texans game, courtesy of our great friends with the Houston Ford dealer. So you still have an opportunity to do that. So stay tuned, hang in there for your chance to win and get your name in that raffle box if you have not done so. It's been a great, great time out here, as always, getting you ready for the Texans and the Broncos. By the way, Clint, boy, I and I'm good with this. I want to make this very clear. I'm good with this. I love the life that I have, but and I'm sure I'm looking at the commissioner. He's a little older than I am, so this has been a little further for him. This used to be a real night.
Halloween?
Oh, give me a Halloween on a Friday. This used to be a night. This is my man Shay. My man Shay over here said, hey, man, I'm single. I'm getting out tonight. I'm going to a bar. I'm thinking to myself, boy, this used to be one, man. Dress up. I remember one year I went as an Oompa Loompa, and I mean, I was a big Oompa Loompa too, baby. Stayed in character, man. You get out there. As you would say, that was a night to hunt. We was out there trying to get dubs out there, baby.
Ain't no doubt. Halloween hunting, man.
Halloween, man. Get yourself dressed up. Well, I can remember being out there in Murfreesboro at Stampedes on Halloween. Let's get after it, gentlemen.
You dress up and they dress down.
That's right.
Oh, there were some good times I had, no doubt.
Yeah, Halloween.
I'm glad they didn't have cameras. That didn't have cameras. Them old phone cameras would have got me,
man,
boy.
This would have been a night, man. I'd like that. Good for you, Shake. Boy, have a good time. All you out there, single out there, go out there and have yourselves a good time. A Friday night Halloween? That's it right there. Ain't got to go nowhere tomorrow. Just absolutely get just blitzed and hope you get a dub. There it is, man.
I'm trying to think what character was my top kill.
The old cop.
I'm trying to get me a sheriff or two.
Get you a sheriff.
Oh, Sable back in the wrestling days. Remember Sable? That's a good one. Kyle, you're right. How do you know the cop was a couple? Everybody's trying to be a sexy cop.
Man, a sexy cop? Yeah. There you go. Yeah, man.
Never much of a witch hunter.
Mama like artist. All right, Clint, man. Defensively, we've talked about it a lot, about the issues the Texans are going to have. But Bo Nix and Sean Payton got their hands full in this game. And my thinking is this is going to be a low-scoring game. Coming up here in a bit, we'll do our Friday finish where we'll give our predictions and what the Texans will – or the way the Texans will win if they do this. But I just feel like – the Texans' defense are going to have to help their offense with some field position, maybe turnovers. Hell, if they score, which I'm certain they could do. We watched Will Anderson score 2 weeks against Seattle that helped their offense. I just think their offense is going to need some help from them. And my thinking is, some points of the game, I'm thinking D'Amico and them maybe have to take some chances and be aggressive to try to create some field position or create some turnovers in this game, but maybe blitzing maybe a little bit more than he wants to during some other things. I just think their speed, and we've seen Denver have struggles on offense at times. They struggled mightily against the Jets. They struggled for three quarters against the Giants. They've struggled at some times this year. My thinking was to be aggressive and at some point to create some field position or turnovers in this game.
Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna go on the flip side of that. Well, I mean, look, I'll never disagree with being aggressive and getting turnovers and scoring points. I mean, I think that's always a beautiful thing. I just don't know if it's the wisest thing to do against this particular offense. Look, I think Sean Payton. I know he has answers for a lot of things, and I don't know that taking a lot of risk and putting guys on islands. Behind that risk is a really good idea. Maybe if the game dictates that, then cool. But for me, I really do believe that this is a not that D'Amico's ever going to be a bend don't break guy, but I do think this is a week when you know you don't have to bring your safeties off the hash as much. You don't have to take too much risk and put guys on islands. Keep everything in front of you. Tackle. Make them go 15 plays to score. Make Bo Nix execute from the pocket. Don't rush past him and let his legs become a big player in the drive. You know, I think that's how you start the game. And now, look, if something happens and you got to go another direction, then so be it. But I got to let Will and Daniil hunt up front. I got to keep everything in front of me and not let them get any explosives over the top because they're going to stress you sideline to sideline. That's what Sean's going to do. He's going to stress you sideline. He's going to make you defend sideline to sideline. Be really good. Do what you did last week. Tackle. Bottle up guys like Christian McCaffrey. You can damn sure bottle up this crew. But play sideline to sideline really sound and let the game dictate what you do from there.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, you don't want to mess up and give up anything. I think Mims being out is a help, although
yes,
I think they still
absolutely
have some guys that could hurt you. R.J. Harvey obviously had some big plays last year, but I just think, and maybe it is, maybe you're right, maybe it is dangerous, and you're putting yourself in a potential bad position. But I just think, hey, we got to create something. We got to, especially if you get a chance to do so and cut loose and find ways where you can create turnovers. And then someone just texted in, well, maybe you don't need to do that. Will and Daniil can create on their own. And, yeah, you have the ability to do that. We've seen that. As we said, Will Anderson did that against Seattle.
Well, I think there's a few things, though, right? I mean, they have a lot of confidence in their pass protection. They have a lot of confidence in their tackles, right? And so you kind of feel this thing out. Is Daniil and Will, are they getting handled by the tackles, or are they getting home and creating chaos? If not, then you know if they are, then we're good to go. If not, then maybe you got to add something and take a little bit more risk. But I got to stay in structure. I got to stay somewhat conservative on defense out of the gate to see if they're going to be disciplined, see if they can handle Will and Daniil. You know, I'm not saying they're not going to disguise coverages. They're going to disguise some different coverages, show some different looks. But I just don't know that that's going to come in the form of being really aggressive and taking a lot of risk early on.
Yeah. We'll see. I just know both offenses are going to have to deal with elite defenses,
yep,
and especially defenses that have elite parts of their team.
Mm-hmm.
And that pass rush and back end with the Texans, and then – obviously, the front seven and pass rush four for the Broncos. All right, as we continue here on a Football Friday live here at Ravens Tower, come on out, make your way. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, but, hell, you can party, man. This is a good spot, indoor, outdoor. As we said, you want to hit a bar for Halloween, you're single, you're not, you want to be, hey, you ain't got no kids, bring them out. This is a good spot to hit, and I feel like business is about to, as JR would say, going to pick up here in a bit. As it gets a little bit later in here, it looks like it's going to be a good time, so make your way on out here. We'll do our Friday finish. You can be a part of this. Text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. The Texans will win if and what's your predictions? We'll do that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we continue to ride through The Texans, as they get ready for another big game, this is a huge, huge game for the Texans. They will take on the Denver Broncos, and a big game. They got a huge win last week, and now they look to try to back that up with another big win as well. All right, you could text in real quick that the Texans will win if they do what. And we'll get to that as well. What you got?
You remember playing tetherball back in the day?
Oh, absolutely.
They got a little tetherball. They got a little tetherball going on outside. Be honest with you, man. I remember even in the warm weather, that game's brutal on the old hand. I remember when it cools down about like this out there on that playground, boy, and tearing that old hand up in that cold weather.
I'm out there swinging it as hard as I could.
Oh,
man.
No doubt. That's a game. Getting competitive is really bad for your hands.
Greg Johnson had it up in his backyard. We used to tear that thing up. I feel bad for Greg Johnson. I feel like me and our other friends, we bullied him out of playing soccer. We said, "Come on, man, bros don't play no soccer." We bullied him. He was real good too, and then he quit playing. Feel bad about that.
Hope you feel good about it.
I don't, man.
Why are you smiling?
I don't. I think he got into drugs, too.
See? Soccer could have changed his life, man.
He was good, too, man. He was good. And we just bullied him into it. Man, you play soccer for real? I really do. I feel bad about that.
Yeah. You should. Yep. You should feel bad about smiling about it right now.
Greg was a soccer and tetherball, baby. That was his
trying to do his thing, man. Y'all talked him out of it.
It was. appreciate everybody who came out, by the way, as well. Shout out to the entire staff here. They have been fantastic the entire way. Make sure you tip your waiters and waitresses as well. And shout out to our guy Shay. He's been with us the last 2 days. He is our promo staff. He's been fantastic as well. And our guy Matt, our engineer, who keeps us on the air. If you're riding around in the city, and then many of you who are watching us on YouTube and Twitch, he does that as well. And then, of course, Tyler Milner holding us down there at the station as well. So we appreciate that. By the way, coming up behind us, a 3-hour action of Texans All Access. D'Amico Ryans will be there on the show with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. So make sure you get rolling with us as well. And then 10 to midnight, Area 45. The fellas are back. They will roll through here. Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago will have you ready for this evening with a little Area 45. Again, as we generally finish things out, you can text in 713-572-4610. The Texans will win if they do what? The Texans will win if they do what? I see some people texting thoughts in. The Texans will win if they can run the ball consistently. Gus and Katie, not bad. I like that. Some others there. The Texans will win if they get off to a good start like they did last week. I think that was a really big deal. I mean, you go 18 plays and hold the ball as long as they did. And yep. I know they wanted to get in the end zone, but that set the tone because that was the rest of the way. Clint, for you, what is it? The Texans will win if they do what?
I think the Texans win if Nico Collins goes over 100.
You've been on Nico. You're serious right there about Nico. You think this is a big –
Yeah, because, I mean, look, I think if Nico Collins goes over 100, I think we've, you know, obviously CJ's been somewhat protected. Nick Cayley's focused on getting him the ball. And more importantly, some of these man looks, these pressure looks, these aggressive looks that they give us, that means that he's busted that thing wide open a couple times. Oh. And so I'm going to go Nico Collins, the tell-all. If I could pick one thing, one specific thing, Nico Collins goes over 100 yards in this game, Texans win.
All right, yeah. Nico Collins, 100 yards, yeah. Especially after – I'm with you. I have a bit of a concern. If it can work, that's great. I do have a bit of concern that they stepped away from last week's game and said, that's how it's got to be.
Always a concern.
You know what I mean? We got to get Noel here and Higgins here. And let's get this thing popping around to everybody and – Yeah, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That may be the best we've seen the offense look, but still, your thought is to try to get the ball in your playmakers' hands. And Nico Collins, especially with no Patrick Surtain in this thing. Nico Collins is a guy you got to try to get the ball to. So I like that thought as well. As I see some others there, I love the people who run a roll, and if they score more points, thank you. Thank you for your worthless text. My Texans will win if C.J. Stroud is the best offensive player on the field on Sunday. If he is the between both teams, because I don't know about you, Clint. I don't think this is going to be a shootout, right? I don't get the sense that this is going to that the Broncos are putting up 44, or that what was the final of that game they played against the Giants? I think that was in the 30s, maybe 33, 31, whatever that was. I don't get the sense that we're looking at a game that's going to be high scoring. I get the sense that that this is going to be a tight game where points are going to be tough to come by. And I believe the defenses are really, really good and going to give both sides problems. But whose offense do I trust more? Well, I'll be honest, walking into it, the thought is I trust Sean Payton and the Denver offense a little bit more. But can C.J. Stroud come up with enough plays here and there, right? We've talked about this. Don't go crazy, but when a play has to be made and when you have to make plays, C.J. Stroud's got to be the guy that we look at in this game that, to me, like Bo Nix can't be the one that's making those plays and C.J. doesn't. And so, for me, in a tough game where I think the defenses were going to be really good, can C.J. Stroud be the difference? Can he be the best offensive player? Because, I think he should be, but can he be the best offensive player on the field? That, to me, is where I see them winning.
Well, I like that conversation, even if we're not talking about winning and we're just talking about C.J. Stroud. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's we watch it every week. I mean, we watched Lamar Jackson come back last night and just work magic, man. And I'm not saying that the Dolphins are anywhere near the team that that the Texans are playing in Denver, but you know, we watch it every year. The top quarterbacks in this league go out there. They navigate chaos in a pocket, and they somehow make plays when it seems to be messy and muddy in the pocket. And they seem to take their team and rise everybody up to their level. And this is going to be one of those games for CJ. Can he do it? It's going to be an opportunity for CJ to prove that he's one of those guys, and can he do it? It's a juggling act, man, because what they want him to do is just stay boring and just kind of distribute the football and get it out and you know, minimize the risk and, you know, that kind of thing. But this game, a game like this against this defense, your quarterback is if he's big time, your quarterback has to take the game into his own hands and make plays multiple times throughout. And can CJ do that?
And I don't think necessarily what you said is not the thing they should be doing the bulk of the game, right? I don't think he needs to come out there and get crazy and say I've got to force this.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, you know, moments and times and situations. All right, really, the difference of the game is the two defenses were really good. To me, it's better if the two defenses were really good and the difference was C.J. Stroud. The Texans had C.J. Stroud and not, well, Sean Payton was just a little bit better than Nick Caley to set his team up, right? Sure. Like, I think that is the situation.
And I think those are fair expectations too, by the way. Talking about C.J. Stroud, like, it's – I think teams with franchise quarterbacks and $50, $60 million quarterbacks are banking on their guys taking games over at a certain point, at some point throughout the game, taking it over and being special.
Yep. Someone else text in, if the offensive line blocks well. Well, they said blocks good. I couldn't say it. Blocks well, we win. I think, and we've talked about it this week, I think that's clearly the number one key in this game for the Texans.
Well, that's going to be the key for the Texans
game,
week in, week out, putting a good product on the field. But the reality of it is again, you look at the top teams, you look at the top quarterbacks, and they deal with muddy, chaotic pockets, sometimes for four quarters, and they're comfortable in those moments. It's when they're at their best. And so we'll see. We'll see if CJ can get back to that.
All right, as some people are texting in their thoughts on their if the Texans will win. The Texans will certainly win if they outrush the Broncos. Yeah, I think running the football is going to be a big deal. All right, your prediction, Clint. What do you think in this game? How do you see this game going?
I'm going 2010 Broncos.
You got the Broncos again? Come on, man. Hey, you picking against the Texans again?
Yeah.
Doggone it, man.
I don't like the matchup, man.
I picked the Texans last week, and I was
you did, you
and
were
I was right.
Right.
I was the you only right. one. I was right. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, man. Texans.
Come on, Ron. Quit beating around the bush, man. They're waiting on it.
Listen, they are a team that can absolutely win this game. They the Broncos are 6-2. But they are not a team that is on a different level from the Texans. And I think the Texans have the better defense in this game, and I think this is going to be a tight, tight game.
Hey, man, pick a score already, man. What's the deal?
I think it's going to be a tight, tight game. But I cannot pick the Texans this week. I am sorry, man. I think it'll be tight. I think it's going to be more Sean Payton being able to have his offense.
You don't make it any better by explaining it.
I'm just coming. I got it 17. I got it 17-13, a low-scoring game. I hope I'm wrong. I need Denver to lose for many reasons. I hope I am wrong. But no, I don't. I'm with you. I don't like the matchup. I feel like they're going to have it. I thought Jacksonville was bad for this offensive line. It feels like it may be worse than that in this game to me. And it's not Trevor on the other side potentially keeping you in the game. So – I'm with you. I got Denver 17-13.
Who's T. Mill got? Who's Tyler got?
I'm certain Tyler's going to have the Texans winning. By the way,
they need Tyler. They need Tyler.
By the way, best bets coming up. You can find that at Real Deal T. Mill. He will have the latest for you and make you a little cash. He's had a pretty good week. He was 4-for-5 last night. The only thing is the Dolphins just plummeting is what took him out. So check out his picks there at Real Deal T Mill. Sorry guys, I thought Clint might go away. I thought Clint. Somebody text in. Chubb gets 100 yards. We're winning. Yeah,
Chubb gets 100. We're all going to be celebrating. Yeah, Chubb gets 100.
Chubb gets. I think more likely for Woody to maybe get 100. All right, again, thank you all who came out with us. Texans All Access coming up. D'Amico Ryan's coming up behind us. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Everybody who took the time to come out and hang out with us, we greatly appreciate it and hope that you'll come out with us next week. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston, we love you, baby. Always seems to know the way. All right, we got you another Payne and Pendergast one anyway.
Don't need
it. In the
it.
Loop next week, we hopefully
he
will.
He said, don't need it.
You got a real Blink 182 soul to you in a karaoke.
I'm so sorry.
Bye, bye, bye. He's letting it go.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.